Welcome to Starve Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SLB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder on how to join us. We have a talk cast every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions, and the call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. Remember to use a Chrome browser. If you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to reach me via Skype, my Skype ID is FranzGames, FranzGames. Of course, you can follow me on the Twitters. My podcast account is sfuoncall. And of course, my personal account is Paul Franz. It's PaulFranz. And you can find me, just go to twitter.com/PaulFranz. Just a reminder, I'm into baseball and being Catholic, and also Star Trek, and of course other sci-fi stuff. Moving on to the, and of course this lovely talk cast gets turned into a podcast available on various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB this week: the Sapphire Star Tournament Series has been announced. Also, Steve Cole has been busy working on Caps Log number 53, getting that all tidied up and done. Steve Petrick was busy working on SCB updates, also on the Gordon Master Starship book. Gene, of course, busy with the Facebook and Shapeways, but also proofreading parts of Caps Log number 53 that Mr. Steve Cole has completed and other things like that. Moving on to the SCB Online tournaments. As mentioned before, the Sapphire Star Tournament Series, gotta get this right, I might have to repeat that a little, few more times, Sapphire Star Tournament Series, okay, I think I got it, Sapphire Star Tournament Series, the beginning of that is just started. The signups are now open for you to sign up. Remember that it is a $10 sign-up fee that you have to pay at ADB at starfleetorders.com. There is a link both in the discussion thread on starfleetgames.com, the discussion board there. Also, when you sign up on SFB Online for the tournament, it wanted to remind you before you sign up, okay, it's going to cost you $10. Also, after you sign up, then what it will do, it will then give you a link that you can just click on that link and boom, you can go forward on and buy and purchase, pay for your tournament fee. And remember, you don't have to pay for shipping. I didn't do that, but I that was the first thing I did, was I looked for a no shipping option, because this is electronic, it's a tournament fee. There's no, you don't ship a tournament fee. I'm not sure, you know. I wish there was a way of defaulting it so that it was to no shipping, because you'll pick up at the store, quote unquote. But you know, that's neither here nor there. Moving onward to the library report. Actually, this week was kind of interesting in that I had a nice little discussion with Frank LeMay. He is actually about to retire, but more importantly, we discussed a way to have it so that he, yes, Frank LeMay, will now be in charge for processing the updates. So the way to basically have it so the updates are processed in a more timely fashion. Now, that means he's going to be in control. That means he has to do the uploading. I've already discussed this with him. We're going to get together again at some little later point to discuss, okay, what is going to be the process, because of the whole idea for me is that I say, okay, you download this one file, and now when you need to upload the file, I'm going to tell them, okay, this is how you have to modify the file. As you modify the file, then you save it, and then you re-upload it to the web, to the server, and then I run a little process which will, one, verify that the list itself is good, that it works, and two, update the actual library that's part of the website. Because I obviously I don't want to give him too much control. That's why I figured I'd give him one little account, and then he can do all the processing, and then we'll be good to go if we do it that way. Versus, I don't think sending back and forth via email would be such a good idea. The only other possible solution I could think of is maybe have everything done via Slack, because I can see us possibly using that for this kind of managing projects and communication, that kind of thing. So with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one, the only Paul Friends, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, it's just me and Dave at the moment. But hey, if you want to, come and join us. It'd be great to have everyone here, you know, because we can talk, chat about anything you want to, or the topic that's for tonight. And in that case, the topic for this evening is a really cool topic. It's a topic that just actually got announced around 2 weeks ago. And I originally planned on doing it last week, but kind of ran out of time, kind of ran out of gas overall. So, you know, I was tired and all that kind of thing that happens. I should be good. I should be good this week. I got a nap in, so I'm good. Yes, I'm to the age where I need a nap. Okay, I figured to start off this whole thing, the first thing I should probably do is explain what the new tournament series, which is called the Sapphire Star Tournament Series, which is basically being supported by ADB, by both having the tournament marshal himself, Steve Petrick, running, being the judge in the tournament. And ADB is also backing this tournament in that, okay, what happens is this tournament is unlike most tournaments. Previously, all tournaments were free. So, since we've been having problems with basically people just dropping off the face of the earth, why? In my mind, it comes down to one thing: buy-in. That's the biggest issue, I think, is first buy-in. You have no reason to stick around to play, actually play your game, you know, the one that you're required to play in the tournament, you know, and because there's no, you know, there is no penalty. In the case of this one, it requires you to put in a $10 non-refundable entry fee. So that means if you decide to go bye-bye, leave the tournament, you don't get $10 back. You just wasted $10. Now, the whole idea, obviously, is to have an amount of money which is big enough that you have a big enough buy-in without being too expensive that you're actually going to have people not want to join the tournament because, heck, I'm not going to spend like $20 or $30, you know, because, and this first tournament, I think, will probably be unique in my mind because of the first tournament of this series. I think it's probably going to be unique. And the reason why I say that is because the way I figure it, the word's going to get out for the better players that they can actually kind of earn money. Not earn money, but, you know, we actually have prizes now. And they might actually want to play more often because of their surprises involved. Now, you know, some of the people that are really good players, or used to be really good players, they no longer play the game. You know, and so we won't see them. But I think this time is probably going to be a unique opportunity. So if you like playing SAB and you're willing to play tournament ships, and all the tournament rules, which is basically it's a limited set of rules. You know, you don't get full EW. You get this miniaturized version. You know, the only thing that actually can cause EW is cloaking devices and wild weasels. That's it. You don't get any of the benefits for like being an Orion and to get the shift for that and things like that. You don't get that. Now, let me go through some of the rules right here. Okay, as I mentioned, Steve Petrick is going to be the judge. Now, he'll be in charge of the rules and adjudication and wildcard assignments and basically creating the tree. He must be CC'd on all tournament emails when it comes to, you know, communications between players. And the idea there, obviously, is to make sure that he knows what's going on. And so if there's any arguments that occurs, you know, he'll know. He's not going to step in on the minute after so many emails are going back and forth between the players. And, you know, because while he could actually might have stepped in a little bit earlier and maybe avoided any confrontations or nasty confrontations, anyway. Whole idea of a tournament is confrontation, really. Each tournament will have exactly 16 players. So after 16 players, they cut them off. Though they will allow you to do, your entry will then go into the next tournament. Also, you might be offered a wild card seat. So if someone has to drop out, someone leaves, or, you know, is, you know, replaced because of they are non-communicative, and but we have a wild card player, laying, you know, sitting beside, you know, sitting waiting for a slot to open up, you can take that slot. Now, wild cards are only for my understanding from reading this. Wild cards are only allowed on the first round when it comes to players from outside of the tournament. There'll be four single elimination rounds. You know, with 16, that's the way it works. As I mentioned before, there's a non-refundable $10 entry fee, which must be paid through ADB's web store within one day of registration. So basically, when you register on SAP Online, after you do your registration on SAP Online, the first thing that will happen after you do that, there's two things that's going to happen at that point. Number one, there will be an email that goes out to the judge and to you, so you know that you signed up. That's one. Number two, there will be a link on that final page saying, "Here, click on this link to go to the store and buy and pay for your entry fee." I know it's not as nice as if basically you paid that gave me the entry fee. Basically, it was a kind of seamless process so that, okay, you register or sign up for the, I think currently I have it sign up is the button. But anyway, I click the button and then it swaps you over to PayPal, you know, if you want to pay there. And then you go, basically, it takes you right there, you know, and you go through the process of paying it. Right now, I just have a link. I don't have it automatically redirect. I don't feel like that'd be a good idea at this point to automatically redirect to the store, because there, in my mind, there is that possibility that someone's already put in their entry fee and then they signed up. So, you know, if enough people, you know, seem like that might be a good idea to do, I'll do it. You know, obviously, the redirection would be done on a delayed basis, i.e. it would probably, you know, it'd show you that, and then for like 10 seconds later, it would then redirect to the store for you and with a message that this is going to redirect in 10 seconds. Or you can click here for immediate redirection. Since there's 16 players and there's a $10 entry fee, that means $160 worth of prize money, because all the money that will be paid to ADB will go towards prizes. Now, there are $10 prizes for 5th through 8th place. So if you win your first round, you get your money back, basically. Now, you can't, okay. Now, you can either take cash, or if you want to, you can use triple value of the prize money in merchandise or PDF credit. Now, just a reminder about that. Triple prize credit cannot be used for Shapeways, Starmada, Acta SF, Starline 2500, or SFB Online due to contracts. That's a reminder. You do not have to use matching cash in redeeming prizes, but you will have to pay cash or use prize money for shipping costs. So basically, it's not, you have this much money to spend and you still have shipping costs and you say, oh, it's free shipping. No, it's not free shipping. You have to pay some way, either via prize money or via cold hard extra cash, you have to pay for shipping. Prize notifications will be distributed within 5 business days of the conclusion of the final game. The winner is encouraged to write an article of his tactics for the next captain's logs, which he will be paid $50. So you actually will be paid for the article that you write. I think this is a strong way to encourage people to write an article without having to hold back prize money and things like that, which just makes hard feelings. You know, it's, you know, $50, which is I think is worth it. There will be strict. This is the critical part about this. There's another critical part about this tournament. Do not sign up for this tournament if you don't think you can abide by these restrictions. Number one, 3 weeks. There's 3 weeks to play for round one. From the time that the tree's announced to the end of round one, there's 3 weeks. If you cannot make it, cannot complete those within that time, don't sign up. Because it says, if the game cannot be completed, you must agree to schedule to resume the game. When the match with the opponent, you have 72 hours to agree on a time to play. So basically, when the round starts, you've got, let me think about this. It is 3 days. Yeah, 3 days. I had to calculate out. 3 times 24 is 72. You have 3 days from the time it was announced to schedule a time with your opponent. So basically, you have to be available for 3 days after the initial announcements to figure out a slot that works for both your schedules. You know? As I mentioned, the game cannot be completed. You must agree to schedule reserve the game at a time the session ends and must finish within the deadline. Okay, any game not completed on time or if both players request it will be adjudicated. And if the game is inconclusive, the judge reserves the right to declare both players lost and fill the spot with a wild card. If someone drops out, disappears, or just won't schedule his game, and there's time to put a wild card into the place, his place, we will, as in this ADB, we'll do this if we can find one. If not, we'll count it as a forfeit. The other player will win and advance. There will be no forfeits in the final game. Even if we have to find a wild card player or have two players fight it for a wild card spot, I'm guessing that's probably more reasonable. So basically you play two players that maybe got knocked out of the semifinals. You know, those two players, they play and they are now they're the replacement final player. I think that'd be much better. Of course, that means that delays that last round, but you know, that can possibly happen. And that's all we care. When it comes to the final game, it sounds like the final round, that might go a little longer if certain things occur like this. And, okay, the start, after you find that player, then the 2 o'clock starts over again. Wild cards for the second and third rounds and possibly the first one will come from those who did not advance from those rounds. So, as I mentioned, the wild cards, the ones that are paid but were not allowed in the tournament because we ran out of slots, those mainly are meant for the first round. Second, third rounds are for people who lost the first round. Okay. We plan on keeping the rules intact for the first half of our tournament, but we'll consider tweaks, changes, and based on lessons learned for the second and subsequent tournaments. Next year, the top finishers in the first few Sapphire Star tournaments will be offered seats in an annual Sapphire Crown Fleet Captains Tournament. The only way to get into the Sapphire Crown Tournament is through a Sapphire Star Tournament. So basically, you need to play. You have to win in one of the paid tournaments to have a slot into the Crown, Sapphire Crown Fleet Captains Tournament. I think that's really, really awesome. So, that is the rules. Which I think that is quite cool. You know, I think that, okay, I'm just going to do this. Okay. I should have brought this up earlier, which is the rules. Okay. While I'm discussing this, I'll just let you see the rules. I'll switch back to the chat room in a bit. But anyhow, when it comes to this, I think this tournament is a great help. Actually, the funny part is some of these suggestions were already put forth with the dying of the last tournament. We had completed the last Rad 48 tournament. It took way too long. The Masters tournament, I feel sorry about that one myself, just because I like the Masters tournament format. I really do. I like the ability have it so that, okay, you fly a ship, you win in that ship. Guess what? You have to now fly the ship that you just beat. So, it makes it quite, in my mind, a quite interesting. The whole idea of the Masters tournament, in my mind, was always to the best overall player. Not the best player for a particular ship, but the best overall player. And personally, I like that idea. I think it's quite cool. Now, obviously, we've had different tournaments in the past, including the Electronic Warfare tournament. So, you know, we played the original tournament ships, but we allowed EW. Now, there are some issues with that tournament because of who's the number one who has the most power for EW. That's going to be the Orion. But again, you know, the Orion, you pay for it when you double those engines. You can make it really hard for you to hit them, but it's the Electron tournament makes it kind of interesting. It's one of those tournaments in my mind that is mainly targeting those people that normally wouldn't play a tournament ship. They wouldn't play in a tournament at all. They like the full breadth of the SFB rules. And part of the rules, obviously, is EW. But, you know, the one thing against EW, and the reason why a lot of people don't like to use EW, is just for the plain simple reason that to use EW just makes things more complicated, you know? And that's fine. You know, I think for a good game, you know, a person who likes EW and has used it for a while, I'm sure it's not that difficult. You know, it's like me flying Andromedans, even though, as I have pointed out multiple times, which is that when I play the Andromedans, I'm constantly thinking about how to get rid of this energy in my panels. And so it makes things quite difficult. And I still remember that one fleet battles. I know I'm chasing rabbits here. Where I had, in my mind, the nifty idea of have an intruder drag along the eel. I think it wasn't eel. It's the large satellite ship that was a scout. So what I thought, that was a genius idea, because one thing you could do in that case is that you could actually have, yes, it would slow down the intruder, but one thing you could do is take all that power that you would use for moving that ship and then put it in DW. I think, to me, it's like, that's a freaking genius move in my mind. That's why I still love that idea. Because, you know, yeah, as I said, it slows the mothership down, but for the most part, that's okay, because of you're not gonna go really up close and personal with a fleet. The whole idea is that you have your satellite ships, which will probably get knocked out of the sky. But in the meantime, you know, there's only so much they can, so many ships they can destroy, and it's like they're like fighters in that regard, you know, or PFs. There's only so many of them you actually can destroy, you know, and you can go in and you can just be pummel him while he's doing that. So, one of those things I like. Now, getting back to the Sapphire Star Tournament Series. Let's get this right. And that is that. I think it's a great idea for ADB. I'm glad that ADB has gotten involved directly, because, you know, we were, if you were over the discussion board, we actually had a discussion about this issue, and that's why it started I think in the Red 48, no, I think it was the Master Tournament thread, and I moved it because it's like, I felt like we really should just separate this out from Masters and actually have a separate topic to discuss some ideas about tournaments and some of those ideas that were put forth. Actually, ADB went and used. And it's one of those things that I really got to learn. You know, you expect somebody who is currently 53 years old would actually listen enough to himself to actually follow the thoughts they had. For example, one of the ideas I had was like, okay, you do a 50-50 thing where 50% of the prize money goes towards the business, 50% of the prize money goes to everyone else, like my bowling. But the first time I said that, I felt like that was the wrong way to go. The right way to go was actually all the prize money goes to the players. But did I change it? No, I did not, because I do not listen. Maybe by the time I'm 80, 70 or 80, I'll actually listen on a more consistent basis. You know, I do pretty well. I do pretty well. I listen like 80% of the time. I like to get that up to like 90, 95. That'd be good. Because I'm human. I'm not going to listen all the time. Cool. Sorry, I was reading Russ's little thing. I'll probably bring that up for the YouTube live feed people so they can see the comment. Wow. But anyhow, so yeah, I think it's great ideas, as I mentioned. I'm hoping to get more players because currently we have four. Now, I'll be honest here. I've not sent out any announcement yet. It's only been announced on the discussion board. I think it might have been mentioned on Facebook. I'm not 100% sure on that one. I don't control that. Gene controls that. So, and I'm sure Gene was waiting for me to do what I did today, which was actually add the tournament to the tournament sign-up page. And I'm actually modifying the tournament sign-up page on SWB Online because of the whole idea is that there's not going to be any other tournaments but Sapphire Star tournaments. I will still support the Net Kill tournament. I still will support that. And if we still, I'm hoping that maybe people come first, come for the Starfire tournament, Sapphire Star tournament, and stay for the Net Kill. I think that'd be great. So I changed the whole tournament page basically to reference the Sapphire Star tournament. Now, I still got to modify some of the other other links on the sites just so that they don't no longer just say tournament sign up and it's more, it says Sapphire Star tournament sign up so that people can go directly there and know what they're doing. Now, one thing I also had to modify for that page was that now it actually mentions, okay, note, there's a $10 entry fee. I think I call it tournament fee. I probably need to change it to be entry fee. But I did that so that it's now considered the tournament, because that seemed to be the way to go, and that probably will be the way for the future. One thing I forgot to mention in the rules, which is this part, which is that after round one, you have 2 weeks to finish the round. You still have the 3-day time to set up a time for your opponent, but you have 2 weeks to play it. So that means no going on vacation for 2 weeks and leave your opponent hanging. So if you're planning on going on a long vacation in those periods of time, one, make sure you maybe have access to the internet. Yes, thank you, Russ. Russ actually said he re-upped his SWB Online subscription, which I noticed that he did do that, and thank you so much. And so that's just one thing to keep in mind, which is round one is 3 weeks, round two is 2 weeks, round three is 2 weeks, round four is 2 weeks. What that means is that within less than 2 months, the tournament should be over. That assumes, obviously, that everything's going okay, people play their games within the time limit. Now, the only one thing that tells me it might change a little bit, which is in the case of the rounds. That is, if everybody completes their round early, is there any reason just to wait around and do nothing? Meaning that I can see the possibility that what happens is that we go and complete the rounds. We start the new round early so that the actual tournament can be done quicker, because I think that's another, obviously that's always an issue with the tournament. As long as the tournament would drag out, people are less and less inclined to actually play the game. You know, or they forget because of they've been waiting for a month, or their opponent has not actually contacted them. You know, and 16 players is small enough that everything should be okay. You should be able to figure that out. Yeah. Russ is saying that when games get rolling, he'll probably get sent out to some third world village and miss all of the matches. Well, maybe. Maybe not. Okay, let me switch this back to... There. Okay, cool. Just want to switch so you can see some of the actual text from the chat room. Okay, for those... Yeah. Okay, cool. Oh, jeez. Well, it says, I heard about something about going to Little Diomede, which is a little, the only place in Alaska you actually can see Russia. So, I'm not so sure I would like that myself. But anyhow... So the tournaments are going to be done quickly. That's the whole idea of the crown, the Sapphire Crown. So that, in theory, we should be able to get, assuming that things go well when it comes to signing up, we could easily get four tournaments in each year, because we require two months of play time, a month of sign-up time, and then you can just keep going. And we can keep doing this. Now, of course, the question is how many people are going to keep doing this? Don't know. But the only way to find out is to try, you know? So we're going to be able to do that. And hopefully, you know, people will come. I'm obviously going to be sending out... emails. I got to make sure that there's something posted on Facebook, Discord. I'm not sure how many people. Actually, there are some people on Discord. The people who actually like SFB Online, they're on Discord. It's actually kind of cool because you can actually chat, you know, voice chat, which I think is pretty neat. That's how I was talking to Frank the other day. And I might be the next topic, which is talking about the the library and the conversion. But anyhow, obviously, if you have any questions about how this whole thing is going to work, feel free to email me or stop by the discussion board. If you stop by the discussion board, I think you'd be most give you your best answers, because in some cases, what I might actually have to do is I might have to post the question on the discussion board myself and then wait for the response then. Because I gave you everything that you should, that you need to know about the tournament, about the tournament series. Hopefully, we can get more people in, have a lot more fun, and especially because I think people have more fun when they're actually able to play the games instead of kind of, oh, yeah, I signed up for the tournament. Yeah, at some point I'll play a game. You know, no, you've got 3 weeks. You put in $10. You cannot get that $10 back. So think carefully before you sign up. And make sure that you're going to be available for those times. Obviously, the big thing, which is the 3 days, if you go on vacation, make sure you have access at the very least to email so you can do some scheduling. If that requires you to say, okay, I'm going to be gone for a week. Okay. They announce the next round. Okay, you're in the next round. You know you're going to be in the next round. Assuming it's round two, because round one, we should know. In any case, you should know when the announcement for the players is going to be. And actually, my understanding, since this is going to be a tree structure, you know who's your opponent. You know, so the big question for me I have about the tournament is that can you? It's possible you can wait for everyone to get done the first round before you start working on the second round, or you could actually. Can you do what a lot always happens in tournaments, which is you actually will play your next game while you're waiting for your opponent you know your opponent since it's a tree. You then play each other and then you're ahead. You know, so now that's a good thing and a bad thing, because the good thing, if you're allowed to play ahead, is that you can be ahead but the bad thing is, so you can play as quickly as possible. The bad thing is that you might have to wait. If you do that, you might have to wait for a month. Because they say that you, the stars aligned, and you played your turn round one game, and then the guys next to you, they played their round one game. Okay, then they advanced. You guys advanced to the next round. Okay, the next day you play. Okay, you're ready to go to the next round, the semifinal rounds. Now, at that point, you might be waiting for 4 weeks for your semifinal opponent to show up, because of they got 3 weeks, then 2 weeks, so that's 5 weeks there for each if they max out the rounds. You know, I'm not sure. That's one thing I can't answer because of. And actually, I'd have to check the discussion board to see if that's even been brought up at all. Which was, okay, I'm gonna bring it up right now real quick, because, nope. I will have to, I'll post that question myself, because I feel like that I think it's a reasonable question when it comes to the rounds. Are they going to be set rounds, i.e., yeah, 3 weeks, and then round two will start in 3 weeks, period. Or, okay, you've got 3 weeks to play. If everyone gets their done in the first week, okay, we're going to start immediately. Or if, you know, you and your opponents have finished in the first week and you want to play your next game, you're allowed to play. I'm not so sure about that, because, again, the good part about that in my mind is that the tournament can be done actually relatively quickly. More quickly than if it's forced delays. But at the same time, you might be waiting a lot longer for your next game. You know? So, I'll have to wait and see on that one. And as I said, I will post a question about that. Now, on the next topic, which I want to discuss, actually, is something that, no, Russ, the Frawley Tournament Cruiser is not approved for the Sapphire. Heck, that reminds me, Darcy, that's one thing I did do, which was I did remove the Zendarian from the dropdown, because that's not part of the actual tournament. You know, it was a playtest ship, and, you know, so I removed it because it's not an official ship, and I don't want to have the people to select it and go, you know, you can't play it because it's not allowed in the tournament. Oh, jeez. Rust mentioned, I know it's hard to win in a ship that, since all of the windows have to be painted black, so it blindly bounces off the barrier. Oh, great. But anyway, okay. Back to it. The Discord thing. That is that earlier this week, Frank LeMay, who is an invaluable contributor to the third gen conversions. He is absolute fantastic. I'm grateful for him and Matt Cooks moving on and working on this. And not Matt Cook, Matt Potter. Sorry. And I forget, there was another person I can't remember off the top of my head. And I apologize. But actually, give me a sec. I might bring this up. That was actually Jason Schaff. And also sometimes Sebastian. They all contribute their time and their effort to convert, do the conversions. And I'm really happy with what they've done. Now, the one thing that Frank pointed out was that, you know, Paul, you seem to be slow on the uptake. Not really, well, that's a poor phrase. You are slow to actually, the ships I send you to actually have them processed and go forward, have them part of the library. And I went, you know, you're right. So what me and Frank are working on is the ability to have him actually upload those things. Now, the one thing that I plan on doing is I'm still not going to give him direct access so he can upload them and boom, they're done. Now, I want, because of Frank is not that computer literate. I want to make sure he doesn't make a mistake. So what I'm going to do, I plan on having him having a copy of the library, and then I will take that copy of the library and I'll copy it into the actual main copy of the library, which is then made available. The biggest thing is not with the files themselves. I'm less concerned about the files themselves, to be honest. I am more concerned at this point is that list, which is what I mentioned to Frank. It's like, okay, Frank, this is two parts of the library. There is the actual files that people are kind of download and keep in memory. They're not actually stored on the person's on the person's computer. Copyright issues and all that kind of thing. But and then there is the actual list, so that it's not basically that's all the smarts is then in that list. And I already told Frank, it's like, Frank, there's over 7,800 entries in this list. And I told him, okay, you have to use a text editor, because this is one of those files. It's a comma separated CSV file, comma separated value formatted file. I do not want him to do something which I've seen people do. And I know it makes it easier because it got the nice little cells, you know, VisiCalc all over again, i.e. the spreadsheet. Bring that file up in spreadsheet and then save it as a CSV file. The problem is when you do that, it modifies the format of the CSV file. A lot of times what happens is that it will actually put quotes around those entries. That's not what mine, what I read. You know, it screws up the whole client. So in that case, you know, if he insists on using that, I'm sure I can figure out something so that the script can actually can clean that up and do it. Right now, I'm hoping all I need to do is actually verify the lines that they're still valid. Number one. Number two, that the end of line is that I'm going to be converting it to Windows so he can use it on his Windows computer and using a simple text editor called Notepad. So he doesn't have to buy any software. Though he has, the one thing I mentioned to him is that he's going to have to get a client that actually allows people to download files and upload files. Because the protocol I'm using is going to be SFTP. I told him, well, if you want to, you can do it via the command line. You know, bring up a command window, you can type in the commands. But it's like, to me, that seems like a very, very, very bad idea because of most people aren't good in the command line. For example, if you want to download a file, you have to type in either FTP or SFTP client, you have to type in get, and it'll download the file. If you want to upload a file, you have to say put, and it will upload the file. You have to CD, change directory, to the different directory so to where you want to be on the server, and then possibly also local in with LCD to change directory locally. This is where people really have problems when it comes to command line utilities. And I will not expect Frank to actually be able to use those kind of utilities. The funny part is that he has his brother-in-law. His brother-in-law is also a developer. He's been developing for 20 years. And I said, Frank, talk to your brother-in-law and go check out what does he recommend as an upload-download utility that can do SFTP. So he said, sure. And the funny part is, today I was thinking about it, I went, you know what the program I'm hoping he recommends is a program called WinSCP. That will do it perfectly. It is, overall, the UI is relatively simple to use. It's not complicated. And I know that people at my job use that utility. And these are like QA people that aren't the most technical people in the world. They are smart guys because of what their product they're testing is not exactly an easy product to use. So they're smart and they know how the algorithms work when it comes to creating shipments and organizing the different pieces that are going to be brought into a shipment and so forth. So they're smart cookies. But at the same time, they're not that technical. You know, computers, like, go home and play video games. That's a computer. You know? And that's fine. You know, I'm not asking everyone to be a developer. Which is actually something I mentioned to him. He's like, yeah, you're going to retire. You may want to learn how to program. In case then he gets dangerous and we all go run for the hills. So the idea is that he does the hard work. In my mind, the hard work is managing that list. Then all I have to do is create a script so that it can process the script, verify it, and then if it's good, then I can at that point copy it all and be good, and be done. Now, if there's an issue with it, then I have to go bring it back to Frank. Say, Frank, there's a problem with the file. This is the entry. And somebody tells me if that goes back and forth too many times, what I might actually have to have them do is do something I loathe to do, is allowing him to log into the server and run the command itself. That's one way. Obviously, another way is actually create a upload download portal, a web client for him to use, so that can then manage the library. Now, obviously, it's going to have to be secure and all this kind of thing. So hopefully, hopefully we won't have to come to that, but I might be doing that in theory, it should be easy enough to do. But again, that means that I have to make sure everything is correct. You know, obviously, the great thing about that, using a website and actually have a web client for him, is that I can verify and have it so that he uses the web page to actually modify the list and manage it that way. So he just has to click on the entry, go, okay, that'll bring up the on the like the right hand side, it will bring up the, what the entry is, and then you just modify, you can fix the entries. Or if you need to add an entry, you can just click add and it'll add the entry, and it brings up the same thing, and you just click add and boom, it adds it. So I think overall, I think that's it's a really good idea, because it will bring things up, it'll upload things faster, especially for Frank, because Frank and I think it's Matt Potter, they're currently playing a campaign, and in some cases, the campaign, they notice that there's issues with the files. So we'll just have to wait and see. Wait and see. Okay. With that, I will wrap up this wonderful podcast. It's been a pleasure. And hopefully I will see you here next time. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.